In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to celebrate one of the most important days in the church's year, the resurrection of Jesus. It can become over-familiar to us, like the readings that we had on Good Friday and Palm Sunday, the Passion narrative. And I ask you to reflect on those again during Holy Week. And I'm going to ask you, it's Father Andrew's influence, to do some homework, to read the gospel reading and reflect on the different feelings of the people that were involved. And we'll talk about some of that now. Can you imagine coming to that tomb like that, expecting to see the stone rolled across, expecting to see Jesus' body in there? Mary was one of the women that was around all the time in Jesus' ministry, but particularly at the end, there's always a group of women that are in the background. They're not as scared to be seen because I guess they had less to lose. They weren't known particularly as disciples because women in those days weren't disciples. They weren't allowed to follow a teacher, but Jesus welcomed them. So Mary came to do what... to do what the Jews would do after the person had died. There was a custom that was dictated a responsibility to mourn at the tomb during the first 3 days, as the soul of the deceased was thought to be still present. But Sabbath intervened for a bit and they couldn't go. So as soon as Sabbath was finished, and I think it was, they're saying between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Mary went to the tomb. There were perhaps some other women there. The other gospel writers name them. John alludes to them by saying, when Mary talks in the plural, we saw. She was expecting to have help to roll the stone across because the tomb was quarried out of rock and it was an expensive tomb because it was Joseph of Arimathea's. So it would have been sealed with the dislike stone rolled down a sloping groove across the door. While relatively easy to close, it would require several strong men to open it. But on arrival, Mary was astonished, finds that the tomb has been rolled back. Alarmed about the possible implications, she decides to get help. She was worried that there'd been grave robbers, or that the authorities had disrupted to set a lie going about Jesus. She went to Peter. Now, must be a strong indicator of his personality that she went to Peter despite the disgrace of his public denials of Jesus that had happened just recently. She went to Peter. And the message indicated her fears. Now, Peter and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, ran to the tomb, and John wins the race. He was a younger man, so Peter was going as quick as he could but didn't get there first. But their response was in character. John got there first, but he was more restrained and reflective, looked but didn't go in. But Peter went straight inside. Impulsive Peter went straight inside. John gives some time to describing the grave clothes. They were clearly important to him. And we wonder why. Why were they so important to spend so much time talking about them? Because it was the way they were left. They were left as though Jesus had just gone straight through them. They were left neatly, not as though a grave robber had just robbed the grave, as though Jesus had come out of a cocoon, a chrysalis, like a butterfly. So John sees this and believes. But then it says in gospel reading today that it wasn't until they understood the scriptures that they fully believed. And I guess that was seeing Jesus' appearances that during the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we'll talk about different appearances, that they really began to understand that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Also, the coming of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, gave them understanding. So put yourself in Mary's place, the fear, the anguish, the grief of losing her beloved teacher, and then not being able to complete the burial rites. For Peter and John, frightened, hiding, starting to understand when they saw the grave clothes, but not fully understanding until Jesus appeared to them. How would you feel on seeing the empty tomb and the stone rolled away? Who would you run and tell about it? Or would you stop and be still and ponder and reflect on what has happened? Read the gospel again, slowly, reflectively. Use visual imagery, use emotions, put yourself there. And I've put this up, that's only one image. There are lots of images you can Google. And that's in case you have a bit of a fade out of the busy Easter weekend. You can look at that and switch off from there. You still get something out of it. The event of the resurrection was crucial to the Christians' faith in the early church and is crucial for us today. Without the resurrection, Jesus would not have conquered sin and death. He would just be a good teacher. What does the resurrection mean for us? And what difference does it make in our lives? And I'm going to finish with a quote from the Lent studies that we've been doing, and it's actually from Pope Francis. Christ is risen. Let us repeat it with words, but above all with the witness of our lives. The happy news of the resurrection should shine on our faces, in our feelings and attitudes, in the way we treat others. We proclaim the resurrection of Christ when his light illuminates the dark moments of our life, and we can share that with others when we know how to smile with those who smile and weep with those who weep. When we walk beside those who are sad and in danger of losing hope, when we recount our experiences of faith with those who are searching for meaning and for happiness. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, with wonder and awe, we rejoice at the victory of your resurrection. Breathe new life into our hearts today. Fill us with renewed confidence to be your hopeful witness so that people will know you through our actions. Amen.